Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
It is Latruska in front as they turn into the stretch. She ran three quarters in 1:10-1. Jose Ortiz hasn't asked her yet. Now he shakes up the reins as they pass the 3/16 pole. It is Latruska leading here by four. Then She Dares the Devil and Bonnie South. It's Latruska with the lead. Bonnie South moving up on the outside into second. And Latruska has it won. A tour de force here for Latruska. She won by three. A mile and a 16th in 1:41.15.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile in New York. Bobby Newman's out in Altoona, Iowa, getting ready for the Friday night card at Prairie Meadows. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. We have 11 races for you tonight, including the entire stakes action on closing day out of Churchill tomorrow afternoon. What's happening, Bobby?
Another great weekend of racing, not only here in the States, but, of course, north of the border. And it's been a fun meet at Churchill this year, and they close it out in style tomorrow.
Yes, Stephen Foster, Fleur de Lis. You heard Latruska. She's coming back on 3 weeks rest to run in that Fleur de Lis. We'll get to all of that stakes action. We got the Ohio Derby as the three-year-olds still keep a piece of the spotlight out of Thistledown. And a couple at beautiful Belmont Park. Bobby mentioned the Trillium up at Woodbine. And a couple at Belmont Park. The Mother Goose, as well as the Wild Applause. And three of the four tracks we're going to cover have a pretty nifty promo attached to them over at NairaBets.com. Head over to NairaBets.com to open a new account. Promo code's HRN200. Bet 200, get 200 over the course of 2 weeks. If you deposit 400 in that 2 weeks, NairaBets will deposit match up to $200. So head to NairaBets.com for more details. While you're there, you'll see this promo tomorrow. It's the 50-50-50 Belmont Churchill Thistle Downs. You have to opt in now to these promos on NairaBets. Basically, just bet $50 at each track. Belmont, Churchill, Thistle Downs, home of that Ohio Derby tomorrow. Win or lose, you get back $15. That's it. There's winning. You're in action tomorrow at Churchill, of course. So for the Breeders' Cup, lots happening. Head over to NairaBets.com. Take advantage of that 50-50-50 promotion. Keep in mind, too, we're recording this show Friday at 1:30. There was a carryover going into the Friday pick six of over $52,000 at Belmont. Take a look at the results over at NairaBets. Maybe another carryover, a double carryover into Saturday. You never know. You know, a closing day at Churchill, though, they got to release that single six pool. So lots happening. You can play it all over at NairaBets.com. Cross-country pick five as well. We'll give you those races a little bit later on in the program. All right, weather's supposed to be nice. Shouldn't have any issues as far as that's concerned, especially here in New York. So let's jump right in. The Mother Goose, grade two Mother Goose. Mile and a 16th, one turn at Belmont Park. Out of the chute, a field of five. And you have your choices in here. You could go with the confirmed three-year-old fillies who have already had some solid stakes experience, like the number three Clarier, the second choice at 9-5 on the morning line for Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen and Errett Ortiz Jr., fourth in the Kentucky Oaks, second in the Fairgrounds Oaks. Make Mischief, a New York bred stakes winner. She's beaten Open Company. Third most recently in the grade 2 8 Bells and grade 1 Acorn just 3 weeks ago. Or you can go with the up-and-comers, filly like Illogami, who's won two in a row since a November layoff. Or the even money morning line favorite, Bobby, Always Karina, Chad Brown, Flavien Pratt. Found this very interesting. Pratt in for the day. I don't know how long Pratt's here for. With Santa Anita closed, though, I can't imagine he's going to do a lot of riding at Los Alamitos. So maybe he's going to slum it in New York for a little while. He picks up the call on this undefeated daughter of Malibu Moon.
Yeah, I don't think Pratt really rides at Los Alamitos unless they have a big stake, and they really don't have huge stakes there. Certainly not anything bigger than what they're running, say, at Belmont Park, or what they're running closing weekend at Churchill, or the beginning of Saratoga, things like that. So it's a perfect time for Pratt to be somewhere else. And we've seen it over the last few years, and he's very capable of riding with these quote-unquote big boys out east, and Chad Brown is certainly not afraid to put Pratt on good horses. You get the feeling that he trusts in Pratt basically as much as he trusts in any of the regular guys that he uses out there, whether it's Irad or Jose Ortiz or Joel Rosario or Castellano. To me, always Karina looks like she's just going to get out in front of this field and keep on going. I know she's not as seasoned as some of these other ones, but I really don't know who would be taken out of their game to try to run with her early. Iliagami doesn't look like she has much speed. Clairiere definitely wants to come from a little bit out of it. Zagel, I don't know. I think she's better with a target. And Make Mischief is probably the closest one as speed. I mean, she did show speed as a two-year-old sprinting last year in races like the Schuylerville and the Adirondack. But I think they've tried to turn her into more of a stalking type. So it seems like always Karina's going to be able to get out and just walk the dog early. And then when fillies like Clairiere and Iliagami come calling, just depends on whether she has something left. And I think she will. And I think she'll go all the way and remain undefeated.
Yeah, you know, you have your preconceived notions about these horses. And always Karina obviously has been super impressive in her two starts against maidens and allowance, optional claim, and company. And when they step up into these bigger spots, and listen, Clairiere is no slouch, neither is Make Mischief. She's turned into a really nice New York bred filly. I think you try to be, you see even money on the morning line, you see a horse that doesn't have a stakes race under her belt, and you see some other fillies that have, and I think the initial reaction is, well, how can I beat her? Right, we have a little time, so we can talk about this a little bit. She's made both of her starts on Lasix. She's not going to have the Lasix tomorrow. You know, we talked about how Make Mischief is great at stakes place. She's a New York bred stakes winner. I mean, she's ran six times already this year. She's won half of her starts. The only time she really didn't show up was in the Busher behind Search Results and Miss Brazil, both next out winners. Search Results, of course, came back and ran second in the Kentucky Oaks as well before winning the Acorn. She was just a length and a half behind her in the Acorn. And Clairiere, she looked good winning the Rachel Alexandro and everything was against her, and she had to come from last, and she's held some good company. And then you look at the, and I think, you know, you pointed it out. She has such a tactical advantage on these fillies. She's naturally faster than them, number one. Number two, there's nobody else that can go with her early. So I thought to myself, well, maybe one of these other fillies will beat her. I don't think so. I'm going to tell you the horse who I think is going to run good. I think Iligami's going to run well. And if there was a little bit more pace in here, I would have tried to get Iligami second. I think it's hard to split the two favorites right now, but Iligami has made up a lot of ground in her two wins this year. She made up a lot of ground in the only other dirt race before the four-month break last year on that Stars of Tomorrow's card at Churchill Downs during closing week. I think she's a filly with a future. And, boy, the way she runs, I bet you her connections are myth that they no longer have the Coaching Club American Oaks at a mile and a half. She certainly looks like a filly who ground would not have been an issue. Distance would have been something that I think she would have appreciated. So, like you, I couldn't get past the favorite. But I do think Clairiere is a nice filly, and I think Iligami could be okay. It'll be an interesting renewal of the Mother Goose. We'll see if the chalk, always Karina, can get the job done. It goes tomorrow as race number 8. Race 9, the Wild Applause, and we can tell you that the Wild Applause is part of the cross-country pick 5 tomorrow. Race 9 at Churchill, race 9 at Thistledown, that is the Ohio Derby. This Wild Applause at Belmont, race 9, and then races 10 and 11 at Churchill. So 9 at Churchill, 9 at Thistle, 9 at Belmont, 10 and 11 at Churchill. That's the order for that cross-country pick 5 tomorrow. Wild Applause smack dab in the middle. Flat Mile on the turf. Field of 9. Manon, the number 2. Chad Brown, Manny Franco. Your 5-2 lukewarm morning line favorite on the morning line. She was really, really good in her U.S. debut off of a July layoff last time, going 6 furlongs. She stretches out to the mile tomorrow.
Boy, she sure looked good last time out. That was a powerful late run from Manon. And she's bred to run all day, being by the Irish-bred Zoffany out of the Green Desert mare, Bee Eater. You'd think that she would be anything but a sprinter. She finally gets to go, well, not 2 turns, but stretched out to a mile. It's that kind of just a little, basically a one-turn mile on that Widener turf at Belmont Park. And anything close to the way she ran last time out, she's going to be very tough to beat. Interesting enough, I didn't realize this till I was handicapping the race. The sire Zoffany, there was a Zoffany who ran out in California, trained by John Gosden, actually ran a few times in New York as well in the mid-80s. I think ran in the Man of War and things like that, but won the Hollywood Turf Cup and won the Citation. And I was like, wow, Zoffany is still a stallion. No, this is a different Zoffany. This Zoffany is an Irish bred. The one we're thinking of was actually a New Jersey bred back in 1980. But Manon is bred to run all day. She's certainly bred to be better long than short. I would not be concerned at all with this extra distance. And anything close to that last race, I think we've got a very interesting filly to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There are some complimentary fillies in here. I think Bye Bye, the number 7 for Christophe Clement and Joel Rosario. Sure, I thought she ran well going from 5 to 7. That's a tough stretch to make, 5 to 7. She ran very well in the Grade 3 Soaring Softly when she got the money last time out. Runaway Rumors is perfect 2 for 2 for Georgie Abreu and Jose Lascano. The water gets deeper for her, but another one. She went from 6 to a mile and took a huge step up in class. She bucked an 0-for-35 trend for Jorge Abreu stretching out from turf sprints to turf routes. That's a pretty big number, and I think that the fact that number was probably helped by the fact that it's essentially a one-turn mile. And you have Lovestruck coming back. Now, Lovestruck's a filly that the Mott Barn's been high on since day one. She won on closing day at Saratoga. That was the little controversial victory where she kind of bumped one of her rivals that finished off the board. She hit her with a big, like almost like a hockey side check, checked her into the boards. Went on to win, and then she missed, I want to say she missed the Miss Grillo and the Chelsea Flower at Belmont. I don't think it was anything structural. I think she had like an infection or something. She came back in the Tepin and was really good. And now we haven't seen her since November. I'll tell you what, if a filly like Lovestruck wasn't in this race, I would be Naira Bet's best bet, single Manon. Lovestruck could be okay, too. I know we've seen it from Manon more recently, but Lovestruck could be okay, too. They're the two for me. There's some other nice fillies in here, but I would think one of these two will get the job done. So I went 2-3 Manon over Lovestruck. Race number 9 goes as the Wild Applause. Let's get the Churchill Downs action started before we go to break. 7 stakes. The Fleur de Lis kicks things off in race 5, grade 2, 1 1/8 on the main track for the fillies and mares, a field of 6. Latruska, Jose Ortiz, down to ride. He picked up the mount last time in the Ogden Phipps. Latruska going to stretch out to the 1 1/8. She's 1 for 2 going 1 1/8 in her career. She won in Saratoga, the Shuvi, last year when the calendar was switching around a bit. She won that in August, one of the last weeks at Saratoga. She faces a field of 4 or 5 rivals. We'll see what Spices Nice does. She's cross-entered in a filly and mare race over at Thistledown tomorrow. We'll see where Todd Pletcher runs her. Latruska and Bobby, one of Bobby's favorite fillies, En Voutant, figure to take the bulk of the tote support here.
So I'm gonna try to beat Latruska and En Voutant, which seems strange in this spot. There is no doubt in my mind Latruska is the best runner in this field. If all of them run their good race, Latruska is better than this field. And the race she ran last time would beat this field, and races like she ran the Houston Ladies Classic or the Rampart last year, things like that. And she may be the lone speed in here. Antoinette's the only one who can show speed with her, and I'm not really sure that Antoinette has the kind of speed that can stick with Letruska. I'm not sure this was the original plan for Letruska, this race. Coming back in 3 weeks, she doesn't show any published works since that win in the Ogden Phipps, which is strange for a filly who works very well. I don't know where they were originally planning to go, but like 3 or 4 days ago, just out of nowhere, there were headlines that, oh, and Letruska showed up in the Florida Lee, which, you know, being that she's either the leader of the class or one of them, you know, those kind of surprise entries don't happen. You know, tracks don't get surprised by these runners being entered in the race. So I'm definitely going to use her. I'm definitely afraid of her. I respect her. She may be just better than this field, and she certainly has a pace edge. But she's going to be 1-2, and I'm not 100% sure she's going to run her best race. En Voutant came off a huge win last time out in the Shawnee. It was not nearly the field that she's going to be seeing tomorrow. That being said, her good races are very good, and she always runs well at Churchill. I'm interested in number one, Point of Honor, for Shug McGahey and Javier Castellano. This is the first time that Shug gets to train this daughter of Curlin, who's been in George Weaver's barn up until now. She's been facing the goods as far as the filly and mare division for most of the last couple of years, and really didn't run that bad in the Breeders' Cup Distaff last time out when we last saw her, only beaten 4.5 lengths. Shug does very well with these extended layoff types. I like her inside draw. I think she'll fire a good shot, and her good races could at least scare Letruska. And if Letruska doesn't fire her best shot, which I'm thinking she may not, I think Point of Honor could get the mild upset.
It's been a while since Point of Honor has gotten to the winner's circle. The Black Eyed Susan of 2019, over 2 years. And I got to tell you that I still have a bad taste from that Phipps loss last year. I needed her for 5 figures. It was just an absolutely brutal beat. I don't know if there is a good enough setup for her. If she didn't get winning the Phipps that day, I don't know if she's ever going to win again. But she gets the trainer to change the Shug, and she gets some pace on in here. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody in here fast enough to go with Letruska. I tried to beat her last time with Bonnie South. Now, maybe you could say En Voutant's a little bit of a better option to beat her, or the filly you're going to try, Point of Honor. I'm done trying to beat her. She's good. She's done this twice. She ran from April 16th to April 30th of last year. She went from a 94 to an 84 buyer speed figure. And then she did it again from August 8th to August 30th, and she won the aforementioned Shuvi. I want to say at the time that was her best race, that Shuvi. So the fact that she was able to do this, and she has just really blossomed as a five-year-old. I mean, her races this year compared to her races last year. Her worst race this year is light years better than her best race last year. So it's Letruska for me. I'm not trying to beat her anymore. Race number 5 goes as the Fleur de Lis. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More Churchill action. We'll bring you the Bloodhorse News update as well. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Spring Meet is back at Churchill Downs with live racing now through June 26th. And, new this year, Stephen Foster Day has moved to a daytime card with 7 total stakes races that include the Breeders' Cup Winning Your In Florida Lee for the Distaff Division and the Stephen Foster for the Classic Division. Churchill also has Twilight Racing starting at 5 p.m. each Thursday throughout the remainder of the meet. Add in the strong purses and you're not going to want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. Get your tickets today at churchilldowns.com.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front. And nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Helium now strikes to the lead. Along the rail, that's Candyman Rocket. Racing along second. Way out on the outside, Hidden Stash is absolutely in full stride. Down to the wire, it's Hidden Stash and Rafael Bayerano. Along the rail, digging back, gamely is Helium. Looks like we're down to two. Helium repels the challenge. It's Helium in a huge effort, turns away the challenge of Hidden Stash. Finishing third was Moonlight Strike, and fourth was Unbridled Honor.
The one and only Richard Grunder on the call of the Tampa Bay Derby from this year. Helium, he tried the Kentucky Derby. He tried the Matt Wynn. He'll try the turf for the first time tomorrow in the War Chant at Churchill Downs. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Before we get back into the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Good news for our neighbors to the north, according to Jim Lawson. Woodbine to 25% attendance beginning July 1st, following nearly a two-month delay due to provincial restrictions related to COVID-19, horses resumed racing before fanless crowds at Woodbine June 12th. Starting next month, limited attendance can return, according to Woodbine Entertainment CEO Jim Lawson. He tweeted June 24th, the beginning July 1st, that's this Thursday, spectators will be allowed at 25% capacity. We are working through the governmental reservation requirement and protocols for spectators today, and we will likely have a communication out in the next day or so as to the logistics for next Thursday, July 1st, he wrote in a follow-up tweet. Canadian government officials have been slower to ease COVID-19 restrictions than their American counterparts. U.S.-Canada land border non-essential travel restrictions still are in place and were extended until at least July 21st, the Department of Homeland Security said earlier this week. With bettors attracted to large fields as the season began, Woodbine handled an opening day record of $6.9 million on June. Looking up for our neighbors to the north. That wraps up tonight's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The 130-page July issue of Blood Horse Magazine is out. It's filled with features including quite a run. COVID-19 proved just the latest challenge for Del Mar exec Ann Hall as the Southern California track prepares to welcome back fans. The path behind and ahead. Due process, the Derby and the Dancer's Image playbook. How the 68 Derby winners DQ set the stage for the Medina Spirit Derby dispute. An enduring legacy, Rick Nichols reflects on the many accomplishments of Shadwell Farms' Sheik Hamdan, who passed away earlier this year. You can download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or subscribe today and receive a free gift at bloodhorse.com/subscribers-only. Great to hear about Woodbine having some fans. They'll have all of their big races later on in the meet. Everything kind of pushed back just a little bit, but looking forward to them having most of their stakes back where they belong. The War Chant, Mr. Newman. Race 7, mandatory 20-cent Derby City 6 tomorrow. It kicks off with this War Chant. They'll go a mile on the turf. Field of 8 Heliums, your 7-2. Second choice on the morning line, co-second choice with the one of credit. Your favorite, lukewarm, 3-1, Royal Prince for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux.
Well, I don't have anything against the favorite Royal Prince, other than I don't think he's any better than any of the other horses in this race. It looks like the biggest all button you could ever find for me in this race. I'm being completely honest here. I could make a case for all 8 runners in this race, including the long shot number 3 in effect, whose last race would it pointed him in the right direction. So, because of that, if I have to make a pick for somebody on top, I'm going to take a shot with somebody doing something different, and that's going to be number two, Starring in My Dreams for Dallas Stewart and Jose Ortiz. Speaking of Jose Ortiz, his horse has never raced on the turf. He's by Super Saver out of a Sky Mesa mare, so at least on the dam side, there's some turf breeding. I like Sky Mesas on the turf. Starring in My Dreams, though, has ran twice on a wet main track, and arguably those are the two best races of his career. And you know the old saying, the horses who like the slop like the turf and vice versa. It's not 100% accurate, but if it works with Starring in My Dreams, then he's going to have a big shot, and he's 6-1.
I don't blame you. Listen, I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody for trying to find a price in here. I'm going to go to a horse I tried a little bit last time, and it's the number eight Next. He made his first start in 6 months on Derby Day in the American turf, and he was a part of a wicked early pace. There's no other real way to put it. His only other turf race was a maiden win at Kentucky Downs going 6.5 furlongs. Now, unfortunately for him, there's some speed signed on here again. And unfortunately for him, like in the American turf, he saddled with an outside post. In this instance, he saddled with post 8 in a field of 8. But he has the services of one of the greatest of all time, Johnny V. I'm hoping that Johnny can leave for position and find his way over. But he has to deal with the one accredited who has a little speed and has the pole. Dynamite, the number 4, is plenty fast. Even the number 7, Helium. You know, I won't be surprised if he showed some speed trying the turf for the first time as a son of Ironicus. He should like it. I'm going to try Next one more time. I don't disagree with you, though. If there was ever an all-button stakes race, man, this is it. This is absolutely, because if they hit up front, horses like In Effect, who just broke their maiden, and El Cabang, who just broke his maiden, they could come running late, and those Rusty Arnold horses are all running well down at Churchill right now. The favorites obviously make sense. Who knows if Starring in My Dreams is a lawnmower or not. It's an interesting race. It's a very interesting race. I went with the 8 Next. Bobby went with the 2 Starring in My Dreams. A wide open race 7. The War Chant kicks off the mandatory payout in the Derby City 6. You can play it over at Naira Bets. Race 8, the debutante, 2-year-old fillies, go 3/4 of a mile. A field of 10 in here. We had a couple of impressive first out maiden winners. The number 8 on the ones and twos for you DJs out there, got the job done at 6, a little over 6-1. Behave Virginia crushed at 7.5-1 first time out, a daughter of Unify, Unified rather. Wicked Halo for Steve Asmussen was in the mud at Lone Star, got a 81 buyer, 57-3 final time for 5/8, a daughter of 2017 Horse of the Year Gunrunner.
So to me, there are two fillies in here that I would use. They would be in order, number 8 on the ones and twos, and number 1, Wicked Halo. To me, though, those two ran far and away the best of the fillies thus far. Now, these are just fillies who have run once or twice only in their careers, and you know, there's other ones who have run well, and there's no reason they can't improve leaps and bounds this early in their career. I lean toward on the ones and twos because, one, she did it at Churchill Downs without Lasix, and two, she actually passed another runner in the race. Well, and three, a filly who finished third to her came back and won impressively in her next start, Tiz Plenty, who's actually the third choice on the morning line, or co-second choice at 4-1. I like the fact that she's drawn outside most of her rivals here. I like the fact that she doesn't have to have the lead. Number 1, Wicked Halo, I think ran very well. I don't know what she beat that day at Lone Star. It was a big field, but it was a muddy track. She was expected to win, and she went out and won. Now she's down on the inside, presumably not on a muddy track. More distance, lots of speed outside of her. I worry more about her, but I would use both of them, picking number 8 on the ones and twos on top for Norm Cassie.
Using the 1, 7, and 8 in here, I was very happy when this wasn't part of the cross country, but it is part of the LA Pick 5 tomorrow, which I'll be playing. I landed on the number 7, Behave Virginia, whose speed figure wasn't as flashy. I'll tell you what, I like the fact that she was able to fight on the front end from the rail draw, kind of control a tepid pace, and then blast away from them. She came home in 6 seconds flat, the last 16th of a mile on a wet fast track while she was opening up on them. Some of these other fillies are faster early. I like the way that she looked real professional in her win. And I'm going to try Behave Virginia. I'm using the number 8 on the 1s and 2s and the 1 Wicked Halo as well. So it's a little chalky for me, but top pick's going to be the horse that figures to be the biggest priced of those three, the number 7, Behave Virginia. Race 8 goes as the $150,000 debutante. The boys, for the most part, take the stage in the Grade 3 Bashford Manor. They'll go 6 furlongs as well. I don't know why She's Got Attitude is running against the boys. She is. John Ennis keeping his fillies apart. I guess didn't want to run Molly Kate, who's in the debutante. Didn't want to run this filly against Molly Kate, or was it the other way around? So we'll see a filly try to boys, which is very interesting when there's a filly race literally 28 minutes earlier. And again, a race full of horses that won on debut. Not so... I mean, the high. I had to look through this twice, Bobby. The highest buyer speed figure was the number 8, Double Thunder, who broke his maiden going 4.5 furlongs at Monmouth Park at 5-1. Fletcher first to win 5-1 with a 60 buyer speed figure.
Well, I think you just answered your question as to why John Ennis has She's Got Attitude in this race. This is an easier spot than the race against the fillies 28 minutes earlier. The boys are not as fast as the girls, at least in these two races. I picked number 8, Double Thunder, on top. I don't know which way to go. This is not a race that I'm specifically betting, you know, other than maybe in some horizontal plays, because I just don't have a grip. I don't think that these guys are real fast thus far. I think Double Thunder was kind of an afterthought, as you somewhat mentioned there, for Pletcher, and that they may have surprised the barn by running that well first time out. But I also go with the theory that that means this one will probably improve second time out, and the fact that John Velasquez aboard is certainly going to help. It probably lowers the price, too. It's a very, very... tepid pick here with Double Thunder, but that's who I went with.
Okay. On paper, this race looks wide open. I don't disagree with anything you said. I think this race really boils down to a two-horse race. I want the 4 Glacial, who did not break very well. But once he recovered, he got to the front, and he improved his position. That is going to always impress me. The horse I like, though, is the number 9, Red Run. I know Red Run ran in the slop first time out by Gunrunner and out of a Tappet mare, so the wet track something he's supposed to be able to handle. And his final time did not come back that quickly. But he passed horses. And these races early on with these horses, and you know, you said it best, these horses are not that fast early on. So, you know, more often than not, these races go fast. They're not going to go 44 or 45 in here. And the fact that he was able to sit 3 lengths off the lead, make the 1 run at Santana and Asmussen, I went to Red Run. Red Run's my top pick. I'll use Glacial with him. Race 9 goes to the Bashford Manor, and that's part of the kicks off the cross country pick 5. So I'm going to go 2 deep with the 4 and the 9 and make the number 9 my top pick. All right, we're halfway home. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Churchill action, including the Grade 2 Stephen Foster. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Bets. Sign up for Naira Bets today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBets.com.
Spring Summer Meet is live now at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Thursday through Sunday through September 26th. Look forward to the Summit of Speed on Saturday, July 3rd, and the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series, which begins July 31st. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone using First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For the stakes schedule, tips and analysis, and seat reservations, visit GulfstreamPark.com. On-site tickets are limited, so book your seats now.
Join HRRN every Saturday morning for the Equine Forum in its new three-hour format. Mike Pena will bring you interviews with the biggest names in thoroughbred racing, as well as new features like In the Room with Sean Clancy, Unsung Heroes, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and more. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Bets.
Here comes Maxfield quickly coming after these leaders as they round the far turn. Maxfield with a three-wide sweep to the front. Roadster has to fight back. Visitant down toward the rail. The three of them stacked across the track off the turn. Maxfield takes charge top of the lane. It's Maxfield in front now by two. Now Maxfield by three. Visitant fights on from second. Roadster's back into third. There's one furlong to go. Maxfield fully extended on the front end. Visitant is running hard but is still second. Roadster trying to hang on to third. Chess Chief late on the scene, but nobody catches Maxfield, who glides under the wire, the three-length winner over Visitant second, Chess Chief, Sonneman, or Roadster.
It was all Maxfield in the Ali Sheba back on Kentucky Derby weekend. See if he can keep on going at these middle distances, and that's Stephen Foster tomorrow afternoon at Churchill Downs on closing day. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets here on HRRN, the Big A, and Bobby Newman. NairaBets.com, the place to be. HRRN 200 is the promo code for a brand new account. Deposit match up to $200. Head to NairaBets.com for more details. 50-50-50 tomorrow. You have to opt into the promotion now on the website. Bet $50 at Belmont, Churchill, Thistle. $50 at each track, and you get a $15 bonus. Cross country pick 5. Race 9 at Churchill, race 9 at Thistle Downs, that's the Ohio Derby, race 9 at Belmont, that's the Wild Applause, races 10 and 11, the Wise Dan, and the Stephen Foster at Churchill, cross country pick 5, head to NairaBets.com for more details. The grade 2 Wise Dan goes as race number 10, mile and a 16th, on the turf, a field of 10 entered in here, the 2-1. Morning line favorite is the number 3. Some Like It Hot Brown got back to the winner's circle for the first time since beating fellow New York Breds in the Mohawk at Belmont last October. Set just off the pace to win the dinner party last time out in a race where the story really was the fact that none of the other favorites really showed up that afternoon. He did. He got the money. He's 2-1 on this morning line for Mike Maker and Jose Ortiz.
And he may just be coming back into his own right now. He also won without Lasix, which is a good thing, since he won't be able to run with Lasix in the Wise Dan. His two starts at Churchill have not been phenomenal, although he's a better horse now than he was for those. One of them, he was just very rank early part of the race in the Turf Classic back September last year when Digital Wage and Factor This ended up running 1-2 in the race. So I don't know what happened to him that day that he was just not very comfortable, but he doesn't usually have that issue. The thing I like about Some Like It Hot Brown is I thought originally he was kind of a front or nothing type. He's really not a front or nothing type anymore. He can get the lead, but he can also pass a few horses, and it's nice to have that sort of flexibility. I think we may actually see him on the front end tomorrow. There's not a ton of other pace in here. Horses like Field Pass. I mean, Field Pass made the lead going a mile and 3/8 last time out. He's made the lead going a mile and 1/8 in the past, but he's not a horse who really has to have the lead. In Love showed some pace in a race that didn't have much pace last time out. So maybe some like it. Hot Brown just gets out in front and keeps going.
I love Field Pass in this race tomorrow. Absolutely love him. Thought he ran
You're a demented guy.
I love this horse tomorrow. I thought he ran a big race in the Maker's Mark Mile. He got beat 3 lengths to Raging Bull and Rider Comet. He came back, like you said. They just put him on the lead. They tried something different, going a mile and 3/8. It didn't really work. Now he cuts back to a distance he's 2 for 6 at. He goes back to a track that he's never missed the money in. I think this horse is sitting on a huge, huge effort tomorrow. I think he comes into this race the right way, too. He's certainly fit off the December layoff with the two races against Better and Longer. I like the source a lot tomorrow. I like him. I think you said a lot of good things about Something Like It Hot Brown. And the 8-5 morning, my favorite set piece. You know, he does very little wrong at Churchill. The one bad race at Churchill was during the springtime last year. I don't know what happened, but they put a pair of blinkers on him, and he's a new horse. All of his races with the blinkers on turf have been faster than his prior ones. They're the three, but I'm going to be making a nice bet on Field Pass tomorrow. I like him a lot in race number 10, the Grade 2 Wise Dan. The Grade 2 Stephen Foster goes as race number 11, 600,000 on the line. A field of nine. The number 8, Maxfield, is your 4-5 morning line favorite for Brendan Walsh, Jose Ortiz. He's tasted defeat just once in a 7-race career. It was going a mile and 1/4. In his mile and 1/16 races, he's a perfect 6 for 6. The extra 16th of a mile, I don't think, is going to hurt him. But my question to you, Bobby, is this. Is he good enough to be a prohibitive favorite in a race like this, where I know he's prohibitive in a lot of these races, but, you know, now it's really starting to show. I think his form is starting to show itself a little bit. New York traffic hasn't gone forward. Two wins over Sonneman and nothing to write home about. Visitant and Chess Chief. Yes, he's facing a lot of the same faces in here, which I get. But I don't trust a horse like him at a short price, despite the fact that he's been that consistent. I don't want him. Not that I don't trust him. I just don't want him. He's just not overwhelmingly fast enough to trust at such a short price.
Well, we have questions for different reasons. I picked him, by the way, on top. And the reason I picked him is his last race really impressed me. I think that even though he was 1-2 and expected to win the Ali Sheba, the way he did it, where he was well back early on in a race that did not have a lot of pace and just stormed by them and finished with a very nice final time of 1:41.2. That race to me was far and away his best race. And it's not like he's coming back on short rest. He's had about 2 months off since that race, and he's been working steadily since then. He's also 3 for 3 at Churchill. And I get your point on that, you know, and especially if you're somebody who hasn't been like in the Maxfield corner throughout his career, maybe been a Maxfield Kool-Aid drinker throughout his career. But if it's not Maxfield, who is it in this spot? Because, to be honest, there's nobody in this race who can beat Maxfield if he runs like he did last time. I think that last race towers over this field, and his other races still have a chance to beat this field and probably will. I think the only one I'd be somewhat leery of is number 5, Silver Dust, for Brett Calhoun and Adam Biskitza. Looked like he may be coming back into good form with that win in the Ben Ali last time out. Another horse that proves that he can win without the benefit of the medication Lasix. He's been in the money 8 of 10 times at Churchill Downs. Silver Dust good races would give Maxfield trouble if Maxfield doesn't run the race he ran last time. If he runs his other races, then it could be very close. If Maxfield runs like he did last time, he's moved to a different level, the kind of level that would give his stablemate Mystic Guide trouble and would put him, you know, in the upper echelon of the handicap horses. So we'll see if that was an anomaly or if that's the new Maxfield.
Okay. I'm betting a horse on the come. I'm going back to South Bend. You know, South Bend ran well first time off the layoff this year. Got the money. And I thought that was kind of a paceless race until I saw the blame. And that was a paceless race. And he was getting ready to make his move. And he just, the door just completely closed. The fact that they didn't look at it stunned me. They never put up an inquiry or anything. I guess there was nothing they could really do. He only beat one horse home. He got beat less than four lengths. And he was going to win the blame. I don't care what anybody says to me. He was winning the blame. Now, he gets a better pace scenario, at least on paper, right? Visitant comes in off a second in the Ali Sheba. He set the pace that day, and it was his best race by leaps and bounds. So I'd have to imagine he's going. Warrior's Charge did not break in the Steve Sexton mile when he was the replacement for Nick's Go. He's always on the lead. Silver Dust has tactical speed. I think they're going to learn the lesson they learned. I think they're going to learn from trying to take Sprawl off the pace last time and put him back on the lead. Empty Tomb's done his best running when he's forward. There's going to be some pace in here. That obviously helps Maxfield. I'm betting South Bend to win, and I'm making a box with Maxfield. I'm using them both in the pick five, and I'm using them both in the cross-country pick five. And I just hope South Bend turns out to be as good as I think he can be. Because I think there's a chance this horse can get really, really good this year. And I know I'm betting him on a come, but you know what? I'm going to get 8-1 on him, 10-1 on him, and I'm going to try him tomorrow. South Bend for me, race number 11, goes as the grade 2 Stephen Foster. Last race of the meet at Churchill Downs is the Teppan. Mile on the turf for the 3-year-old fillies. Full field of 13. Set to go to post. They're going to try and stretch Toby's heart out again. She'll break from post 8. Talk about a bad trip last time. I don't know what that ride was. Invincible Gals, 9-2 from the rail. They don't know. This is going to be a very wide open tote board.
It is. So I took a little shot with a price with number 5, Navratilova, for Rusty Arnold and Brian Hernandez. Navratilova coming off two very nice sprint races at Keeneland and Churchill in some minor stakes, one going 5 furlongs, one going 5.5. She's really bred to run much longer, being by Medaglia d'Oro out of a Smart Strike mare. They did try her longer in the Jessamine last year against Aunt Pearl, and she just simply wasn't good enough at the time. But she looks like she's better as a 3-year-old than she was as a 2-year-old. And giving her a chance to stretch back out again, I think if she can run as well routing as she has been sprinting her last two, she's about as good as anyone in the field, and she's 12-1.
My man, you can make a case for 7 of these horses, or 8 of them. I was ecstatic that this thing wasn't part of the cross country. I mean, it's part of the late pick 5, obviously, but I mean, I could use 1's Invincible Gal. I could use the 2, Sylvia Q. I could use the 5, Navratilova. Again, you know, the Rusty Arnold horse has been running well. Brad Cox has been trying to run Adventuring on the turf for what seems like 3 years, even though she's only a 3-year-old. And she chased that fast pace last time. She gets Johnny V for her turf debut. You know, I mean, I guess Toby's Heart, you want to try her again long. I don't know if that's a great idea, but I'm not going to let her beat me because she's like one of my pets, Arm Candy. So I made Adventuring. I went to say Questing because that's her mare. I made Adventuring my top pick just because Brad, you know, tried turf. She ran well enough on the dirt, and then last time it all fell apart. I'm going to try her first time turf. But again, I just told you I like six or seven horses in a race. Adventuring for me, the Teppan goes as race number 12. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, we'll tell you who's on the Equine Forum tomorrow morning. We'll head out to the Ohio Derby at Thistledown and the Trillium up at Woodbine. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Spring Meet is back at Churchill Downs with live racing now through June 26th. And, new this year, Stephen Foster Day has moved to a daytime card with seven total stakes races that include the Breeders' Cup Winning Your In Florida Lee for the Distaff Division and the Stephen Foster for the Classic Division. Churchill also has Twilight Racing starting at 5 p.m. each Thursday throughout the remainder of the meet. Add in the strong purses and you're not going to want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. Get your tickets today at churchilldowns.com.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
As they come for the quarter pole, now Wolfie's Dyna Ghost gives way, and Promise Keeper is the leader. Here's a challenge on the outside from Nova Rags. Promise Keeper, Nova Rags, Overtook is in third as they hit the eighth pole. It's Promise Keeper on the inside, Nova Rags on the outside. Promise Keeper is holding on to the lead. Nova Rags in second. They come on for the finish, and Promise Keeper has won the Peter Pan by a little more than two lengths. Nova Rags was second, then Overtook, and farther back, I Am the Law.
Promise Keeper takes his show on the road to Thistledown tomorrow for the Ohio Derby. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A, Bobby Newman, taking you through a fantastic Friday evening. The Baron, Mike Penna, takes you through a sensational Saturday morning. The Equine Forum, Godolphin President and Racing Manager Jimmy Bell discusses Maxfield, Central Quality, Mystic Guide, and more. Churchill Downs Director of Communications Darren Rogers previews Saturday Stephen Foster card. Two-time Stephen Foster winning trainer Dallas Stewart talks about his chances for a three-peat. We go down the road to the Kentucky Derby with Fausto Gutierrez, trainer of Fleur de Lis favorite Latruska, plus weekly segments including Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris, Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne Farms. In the room with John Clancy and jockey Jose Ferrer, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. It's the road to the Breeders' Cup, by the way, not the road to the Kentucky Derby. Thank you, Lee. It's the show to launch the network, the Equine Forum, tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 a.m., Sirius 219, XM 201. Stream it live at horseracingradio.net. You can go to the website, podcasts of all our programs, including Trainer Talk, presented by Fajic Tipton. Michelle Gianjulo was Mike's guest on Wednesday. We had a fantastic renewal of the call-in show last night. Head over to horseracingradio.net for all of your podcast needs. And to listen live, of course. All right, the Ohio Derby is at Thistledown tomorrow. Mile and an eighth, grade three. It goes as race nine, part of the cross-country pick five. Nine furlongs, rather. Got a field of 11. See where somebody's run. Bobby, you sent me, we were talking earlier, chance some of these horses might run out in your neck of the woods. this week.
Yeah, they draw 7 days in advance here at Prairie Meadows, no matter what the race day. And one of the two bigger days of the meet is next Friday, July 2nd, when they have the Grade 3 Iowa Oaks, the Grade 3 Prairie Meadows Cornhusker Handicap, and the $250,000 Iowa Derby. And the entries are already out. Some pretty big names in those races, and some horses that we see in the Ohio Derby that are cross-entered. For instance, Proxy, who's 5-1 on the morning line for Mike Stidham tomorrow in the Ohio Derby, drew the rail if he decides to skip the Ohio Derby and run a mile and a 16th in the $250,000 Iowa Derby. By the way, horses like Superstock, Flash of Mischief, Stiletto Boy, Nova Rags in that race. Big name, though. How about this in the Cornhusker? Nick's Go showing up for the mile and an eighth Cornhusker. Modernist is coming in for Bill Mott. Tenfold, Last Judgment, who's got some good form. But maybe trying to get Nick's Go a little bit of a different spot than what he's seen in his last two races, you know, running in the Met Mile and running in the Saudi Cup. I'm not sure too many people have made the Saudi Arabia to New York to Altoona, Iowa trek three races in a row.
I'm not either. Yeah, so it puts a little wrinkle into handicapping this race. It's funny, when we were talking to Ed last night at DeRosa, it was like, you know, well, I'm going to pick against Keep Me in Mind. And you're like, you know, I thought the same thing. And I was like, I don't know about that. This horse is coming out of some really tough races. It looks like he started to wake up a little bit in his last two. The blinkers go back on. He gets LASIK for the first time. I'm not saying he's a cinch or anything by any means, but, I mean, he's certainly a horse, if you're playing this race, that you have, this race goes through him, doesn't it? And him and King Fury, I think, are the two. And, I mean, they're the most stakes-faced horses, and I think they're the most accomplished.
By the way, and unlike stakes at many other tracks around the country, they can run on LASIKs in the Ohio Derby, and they can run on LASIKs at Prairie Meadows in any of the stakes races. So a lot of these horses that maybe haven't been able to have the benefit of LASIKs will get back on it. I ended up going to the now horse, and that's Promise Keeper for Todd Pletcher and Luis Saez. Promise Keeper has done very little wrong in his career. When he fires his good shots are really, really good. I mean, he was so good in his maiden race at Gulfstream that they tried him in the Tampa Bay Derby, and he was only 4-1. In the Tampa Bay Derby, and he just didn't run a step that day. And I don't know if it was the tougher field or just something went wrong, because he went from a length and a half back to 12 lengths back to 30 lengths back in seemingly 10 seconds. So, you know, almost seems like maybe he swallowed his tongue or something in the race. Came back, won a very impressively won an allowance race at Keeneland, and then even more impressively won the Peter Pan at Belmont Park. I think he's going good right now. I like his inside post. He's 7-2 on the morning line. I think we'll get every bit of 7-2. And Luis Saez, his regular rider, ships out for the mount. I think Promise Keeper's good races are good enough to make him tough in the Ohio Derby.
Okay. I went to King Fury and Keep Me in Mind. I would coin flip them. Honestly, I would see who's the bigger price. If you're a win, if you bet win bets and stuff like that, and I had a real hard time separating these two. With a gun to my head, I would probably pick King Fury, just because I think there's that race. There's always a chance for a lot of pace, and it seems like a lot of pace signed on in here, and that helps both of these horses. But I feel like King Fury has a little bit more of a turn of foot than Keep Me in Mind does. And a mile and an eighth, I probably want King Fury. But they're the two I want. And they're the only two I'll use if they're the only two I'll use. Race number nine goes as the Grade 3 Ohio Derby. Quickly, the Trillium, mile and a 16th, Grade 3 on the all-weather. Who do you like in Race 7 at Woodbine tomorrow?
I went to number 8, Heavenly Curlin, for Mark Cassie and Emma Jane Wilson. Like the way this horse ran last year on that all-weather track at Woodbine, I think those were her best races, and getting back to it, I think she's going to be tough.
went to the number 7 Sky Gaze for Mark Cassie, the other Mark Cassie in here. 4 for 6 with a third. And then that third, she crossed the wire first. She loves it up there at Woodbine. Patrick Husband's Rise. I'll take the number 7 Sky Gaze. You got a Naira Betts best bet for me, my man?
Churchill Downs in the debutante on the 1s and 2s to make it 2 in a row.
I'm going to be the chalk-eating weasel. I'm going to the Fleur de Lis. My girl Latruska is my Naira Betts best bet. Great job as always, Mr. Newman. We'll do it again on Wednesday for race day.
All right, pal. Have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy the action at Prairie Meadows. You can tune in and listen to Bobby right on Naira Betts. And at horseracingradio.net. We're back Wednesday. Until then, for Bobby and Lee, I'm the Big A. Hope you have a lucky night. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Have a great weekend. Equine Forum tomorrow at 8. Take care, HRRN Nation.